So, here we are, almost the end of July already, and it's hot out there. And most of the time throughout the summer, people are taking some holidays and being refreshed and getting some time away and some time in the garden, some time to grow. Sometimes we have challenges, sometimes things going just great. Tell me when you're most happy. Huh? When things are going well. When things are going well, my dad used to say everything's just tickety-boo. Anybody else use that one? Tickety-boo. You use that one? Yeah, he used to say that to me all the time. Boy, I've kept his picture. My stepdad passed away here earlier this year, and I keep his picture. Because for me, I want to remember. I want to remember my mom and my stepdad, and they're both gone now. And both gone within about a year and a half of each other. And needless to say, you go through some rough patches at times like that. And when we're in those down times, what do we do? What do we do? We've been learning a little bit about some of those things that we need to have a part of maybe our reflexes, our lives. What do we believe? Because when these hard times come in our lives, we need to be able to react the way that Christ wants us to do. We need to be able to function through the challenges, the storms, when somebody throws a curveball at you. You need to be able to still function in a way that Christ wants us to live. We have His life in us. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And so His life in us, what does that look like to the world around us? And so we've been talking about this Believe series, and this Believe series is about living the story of the Bible to become like Jesus. And it has three acts in it. You know, three-act play, right? This is the three acts that we're talking about. First is what do we believe? What do we think about what we believe? Next is, how do we act with what we believe? And the third is, who are we becoming because of what we believe and how we're living it out? Who are we becoming? Now, this is an important one because I think God is saying to us, this is who I want you to become. And so we've been talking about some of these virtues in this third act. We're in message 25 today of this 30-message series. And the virtues that we've been talking about are love. We've talked about love, we've talked about joy, we've talked about self-control, we've talked about peace, we've talked about, what other one did I miss? No, we haven't yet. We need to talk about patience, Judy. Could you just relax and have a little patience? That's coming next week. Joy. Yes, we talked about joy. So some of these virtues are things that the Holy Spirit births in us, creates in us, works out in us. I've got some rough edges that need chiseling, that need to be shaped and molded by God in me, by Christ in me, by Jesus living His life through me. And I find that in those days that are challenging, when I actually focus on Him, those challenges, they don't disappear, but I am able to actually live through them. And it's because of one word. And that word for me is hope. I want you to just ask yourself, now the key idea for this week, and I brought this chair over because I'm just going to sit down for a little bit of this, if you'll let me. Good with that? I love when Scripture says that Jesus, when he stopped reading Scripture or whatever, and then he sat down to teach. It's interesting. The key idea today is I can cope with the hardships of life because of the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Hope. Well, what in the world is hope anyways? What do you think hope is? I do this to our people all the time. I tell you, you got to find a neighbor, someone close to you. If you see someone that doesn't have someone to talk to, run over and ask them the question. What do you think hope is? I mean, we use the word all the time, but do we have a definition that goes with that concept? Ready, set, talk to your neighbor. Find someone and talk it out. What do you think the definition of hope is? Set, go. What is hope? It's all good until you have to think. Nobody told me I was going to have to, you know, there's a pop quiz after too. Need some Jeopardy music? Do, 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 do. Hope. You got it? Let's hear some of your definitions of hope. I'm going to start on this side. Dylan, welcome here. What did you guys think of hope? Expectation, faith, yeah, good. Anybody else here? What do you think of hope? It gets you up in the morning and gets you going. Oh, I need some of that. Yeah. Did you guys hear that? He's still a Leaf fan. Apparently, he still has some hope. We'll try and rectify that again this year. Anybody here? Believing in the possibility of something that could happen. Good. Waiting for an... Yeah, hope is one of those waiting words, isn't it? It is. It causes us to wait. I love it if you added your answer to Allie, is that right? To Allie's answer, waiting in expectancy. Like, expectation, right? Like, can we have expectation on God? Okay, God, you're going to show up and I'm going to wait for you. I think we can. I think we can. Anybody else here that had definition of hope? Anticipation. Yes. Thinking good is coming. Yeah. Anybody over here? Trust. Trust has to be a part of hope, doesn't it? Oh, who said doubt? Who said that? Sean. Hey, thank you. Thank you for that. Because these days, you know what people think of when they're thinking of hope? It's kind of that wishful thinking. And when a lot of people think of hope as wishful thinking, do you know what's attached to hope then? Always. That's the world's perspective. That's the world's definition of hope. And it always has doubt attached. I want to give you some hope for hope today. The hope in the Bible does not have doubt attached. Is that good news? This is fantastic news, because our world, they're looking for hope that we have. They're looking for the kind of hope that doesn't have doubt attached. Boy, you caught me. Most people understand hope as wishful thinking, as in, you know, I hope it'll happen. And you know that concept, I hope so. You know, biblical definition, though, of hope is this: confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear or unknown. See, biblical hope has its foundation in faith in God. Not faith in me, not faith in someone else, but faith in God, the Almighty. The one who's sustaining us all. The one who is sustaining this world. The one who can handle anything. The word hope in the English, though, conveys that sense of doubt, like Sean caught. You know, there's that, I hope it's not going to rain tomorrow. Well, actually, I hope it is going to rain tomorrow. But I have some doubt when I say that, don't I? In addition, that word hope, it's often followed by that little word, so. This is the answer so many people give when they're asked, you know, if they think that they're going to go to heaven when they die. You know what they say? Have you heard that? I hope so. And what's attached to that? Doubt. That's not the God I know. That's not the Jesus that someone told me about. This is not the meaning of the words that's usually translated hope in the Bible. Hope is that confident expectation. And it's a confident expectation for today. You know why? Because I can't do anything about yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Stop worrying about it. Stop hoping it wouldn't have happened that way. It's done. I can have confident expectation, hope for today, for tomorrow, and to finish this message, we're going to talk about a hope that is something that I can't keep to myself. I've just got to share it. I got to share it with those around me because it matters so much. It matters. The assurance that God has given me is so important that I can't keep it to myself. And so that's where we're going today. Hope for today. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter's got some fantastic statements about hope. I'm going to bounce just a little bit this morning, if you will allow me to. I love what Chuck Swindoll had said about hope. He said, you know what? We can live for several weeks without food. We can live for several days without water. We can only live a few minutes without oxygen. But without hope, forget it. Every single one of us needs. It's required every day. I love Marilyn. You said, gets me up in the morning and it gets me going. It's true. I need something today to live for. I need to know today that there's hope for today. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It starts right off. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth. And you know what that is? It's living hope. Because of what He did on the cross, I am given new hope. And a living hope that helps me every single day. This living hope, it's brought into being through that presence of Jesus in me. The Holy Spirit, that was that gift that was given to me to live in me, to represent His life in me. And I got to challenge you, if you've never actually stopped and said, hey God, I acknowledge you. I recognize that you are true, that you are the living God. I recognize that I'm broken and I need help. I have sin in my life that I can't do anything about myself. And I recognize what you did on the cross and what you have done for me. You went to the cross to pay for my sin. And when I get to that place, I can't help but bend my knee and say, you are God and I am not, and I need you. And His promise is to come and live with us. When we make that decision, it's not just a prayer that we say. It's a decision that we make with our life to turn our lives over to Him and invite Him to live in and through us. When we get to that place, we are given living hope. Some people feel it immediately. Some people, it just hits them. And they recognize immediately that something has changed inside of them. I remember when I asked Jesus into my life with a prayer. And it was almost like an invitation for me that God would chase me. And I've shared that with you before. But I remember the day when I surrendered my life to Jesus. And I realized that I knew this information, that God loved me. And I knew that He was asking me to follow Him. But I just didn't want to bend my knee. Rebellious. But when I did, when I bent my knee to the God of the universe who says He loves me like crazy, who gave His only Son for me, and I bent my knee that day, something changed. It was like something was made right. And it changed in me so that people, when they saw me the next day, they knew something was different. People outside of me knew something was different. And I remember the feelings. I remember I had this sense, this feeling. I closed my eyes and it felt like red just came down like a curtain. Weird, I know. It's kind of mysterious. But for me, it was just like, I'm just being washed clean. And when I was done, I'm a brand new person. I get a new start. Talk about giving you hope. Talk about a hope that's alive. Oh, this Holy Spirit that lives in us. And he's not just, kind of hanging out. He challenges me. He pushes me. Sometimes into places I don't want to go. He challenges me. Hey, come and walk with me. Hey, come and listen to my word. Hey, come and talk to me. Do you know that issue that you're dealing with? I want to know about it. I know about it, but I want you to tell me about it. Let's have a conversation. Let's live this life together, Trevor. Let's do it. And in my living it out, that hope does something. It grows. It grows. Do you ever feel like you're in the middle of the ocean with no life raft? No life preserver? And you can only hold out for so long before you're going to start sinking. What would change if someone threw you a preserver? Would you have hope? What if you got a life raft? A little more hope grows. Then you saw a ship coming. What's going on with your hope? It's growing. I believe that that's what Jesus has done for me. He's given me hope for every day. Not just for, when I die, because a lot of us think about hope that way. And we're going to get there, but I think I need to have hope for the future. I need to have hope that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But for some Christians, that's all the hope that they have. That's all they want. I just need the fire insurance to make sure I'm good down the road. The rest of it, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I want to challenge you if you're there. Because this living hope, it's for me, it's for right now, it's for today. Because you know what I find? I need it today. I need it. Our memory verse for this week is found in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. I could have just preached from these verses. They are so full and so beautiful and so strong. Do you ever find words that you can just hold on to, that they help you? These are words that you can hold on to. It says in verse 19 of chapter 6 in Hebrews, it says, we have this hope that I just described for you, this life of Jesus living in me when I surrender, when I bend my knee. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. Now, let me just unpack that second part for us just a little bit. I know I have unpacked it in another message earlier, and before that, I made mention of it, and someone in our congregation, no names, Judy, she's my hero. She chased after me after I mentioned this concept. And she said, you have to unpack that for us, Pastor. There's this beautiful thing that happens when Jesus is on the cross. You didn't think much beautiful was happening, did you, when he was dying? Because it's sorrow, it's sad, it's brokenness, it's mess. But something was happening across the way. From where Jesus would have been crucified, he would have been able to see the Temple Mount. He would have been able to see the temple. And something was happening at the temple the moment Jesus died. Do you know what happened? This curtain that was there, that was made to protect the people from the glory of God that came down and resided inside the Holy of Holies. This small little room that had these special artifacts in it, and they created this curtain. Any people here sew? You make quilts and stuff? Got some of those? Imagine sewing a curtain that's a foot thick by about probably 20 feet wide. Serious, can you imagine? Can you imagine the woman hours, the man hours that goes into creating a curtain like that? Now think about this curtain. I mean, we got a curtain up here. It's not even millimeters, right? I mean, it's small. Could I rip that? I probably could rip that really quick, really easy. Imagine a curtain that is a foot thick, 15 feet wide, torn from the top to the bottom. This thing that happened the moment Jesus died brought hope to the world. And you know how it did that? God said, no longer am I going to be just inside of one room, but I'm going to be living in the hearts of men and women in this world. And so I'm going to show you by ripping this curtain from top to bottom. And the ripping of this curtain, he gave us hope that's just going to blow the world away. Because now this hope is not just for the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people always thought that the Messiah is coming just for them. That God is going to rescue just them and to hell with the world. Sometimes we say that too. Especially those neighbors that we don't like. Or those people at work that we struggle with. But Jesus ripped that veil in two. And that's what this scripture is talking about. See, this hope that we have as an anchor, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. That's that place where we can have a relationship with God. We now get to go in there. We are allowed to go in there because Jesus has forgiven us from our sins, and we are allowed to enter the very Holy of Holies because we are His child. And this gives us assurance of hope. Jesus was the one that went in there on our behalf. And I believe it was Him that ripped this veil, this curtain, in two. And opened a way for us to have this hope like an anchor for our soul. This hope that we can hold on to right for today. Oh, what did Jesus do for you? No other human, including you, could do what He did. He went into that Holy of Holies. He ripped that curtain. And now anyone can come in. And just to finish that statement, you know, it's often those people that we don't like that we're not sure we even want to share our hope with. In my experience, it's been them. Those are the ones that Jesus is reaching out to through you. Oh, it's hard. See, the result, though, of this hope that we get because of what Jesus did for us, the result is joy and peace when His Spirit is living in us. I often use this benediction. I love it. I used to write it in people's cards all the time, and then my daughter found it. And so she stole it, and she started writing it in cards back to me. And I'm like, hey, kid, what are you doing? That's my verse. Oh, Dad, you can find another one. I just love this verse so much. Okay. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And he says, to us in our everyday, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Oh, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I shared a little while back, I think when I was talking about peace, that there was a song that was going through my head, and I thought it was from last year's VBS. You know, because those songs the kids sing, they just get stuck in your head, right? I mean, who was here for VBS Sunday last week? I mean, some of those songs are still, you know, reverberating. But this one actually was from 2 years ago that I discovered when I was preparing. This song was from 2 years ago, and it's still reverberating in my head. And when I find myself in those low times, and I'm singing my Jesus, I love, this one comes up too. And I've learned that this is my go-to place. I need to go and declare that my hope is not in me, My hope is not in the circumstances around me. My hope is not in the people around me. My hope is in the Lord. Listen to these lyrics. I was going to play it for you this morning, but the video is all like racing cars down the road, and I didn't know how that had anything to do with hope. So listen to these words. I can't help but feel a little down, a little worried when I look around. Whew. That hits us when we watch the evening news. That's why my hope is in the Lord. I fix my eyes upon the God who gives, because all I need is what I have in Him. That's why my hope is in the Lord. There's the chorus. My hope is in the Lord. I belong to Him. He will never let me go. Oh, oh, oh. My hope is in the Lord. I can count on Him. See that assurance? I can count on Him for today. Hope for today. My hope is in the Lord. So I can hope in Him because He fills me with His love, His life, and He gives me what I need moment by moment, day by day. I notice that He doesn't give me more than I need so that I can supply myself a little bit later. He gives me what I need for right now. And He promises to walk through the shadows, the valley of the shadow of darkness, right? He's the one that said, I want to be your shepherd. I want to walk through those times with you. I want to be there. You know, all those shadow times are different for all of us. We're not just talking about end-of-life stuff. Even that scripture that Howie read earlier, it sounded like it was talking about end-of-life stuff. It was actually talking about today stuff. Because my assurance is, even for the end, to realize that my life is only this much. And God wants to be here for today. My hope is in the Lord. Well, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Because our minds go there, don't they? Our minds are thinking about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? I got plans for tomorrow. I got stuff that's got to happen tomorrow. Oh, stuff's going to happen tomorrow. We start getting our brain going and we start worrying. We start getting flustered and full of fear and stress and anxiety. We need to know hope for tomorrow. I think that there's a concept that in the scripture that helps me with this. Just coming back just a little bit to what Jesus did for me, He came and He came to reside in me. By the Holy Spirit, He's living in me. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says this, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is that idea of tomorrow. Glory is that idea of the end of my life, but starting tomorrow. It's Christ in me that's the hope that I need to keep going. It's Christ in me that I need to have assurance of heaven. It's Christ in me to have the assurance that when He comes back, I'm going to be prepared. The hope of glory, it's the fulfillment of God's promise that He said, I'm going to restore you. But not just you, I'm going to restore all of creation. This hope, it's not a wishful thinking kind of hope, but it's the confident, expectant, and joyful knowledge that we're being changed by God and that one day we're going to see Him face to face. And so that, you know, when we have been conformed to His image, will be prepared for glory. That's why I'm glad that He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet, and anything that comes tomorrow, I'm going to allow Him to use in my life because stuff happens. And when stuff does happen, that's the polite way of saying it, isn't it? Stuff happens. When it does happen, we need to allow God into those opportunities to teach us, to help us, because I learn the hard way usually. I don't know about you, but I learn the hard way, and I have to trip and fall and get up and keep going and learn the lesson and go forward. This is the hope of glory, that God is preparing me. He's changing me. He's molding. He's shaping me. He's doing that today, but he's also going to do that tomorrow. There's a day that's coming. And when I think about hope for tomorrow, I think about the fact, when I was younger, I thought about it a lot more, and I'm not sure why I don't think about it much today. I think today I want to spend more time thinking about my family. I want to be with my family. I want to enjoy those moments. And so I'm not thinking maybe as much of the future as I ought. But Jesus made a promise. He made a promise that he came to do the work on the cross. But he made this promise that that's not the end of things. Because he said, I'm going to come back again. I'm going to come back. And there's a special kind of hope in that. That Jesus is actually going to come back. He's going to restore this world. He's going to actually set it up. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth. He's going to reign here for 1,000 years, the scripture tells me. And so there is this stuff that's coming. And I need to know that hope in my life as well, because that helps me for tomorrow. It helps me in tomorrow. I don't want to go into there's all kinds of prophecy and all kinds of things that are going to happen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 to 54, very simply he says this. He's speaking to his disciples who are there with him. And he said that this is going to happen. He said, for the trumpet's going to sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed, and the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. How many people long for that day that they die? Oh, wait a minute. You're longing for that day that you're going to die. No, we don't long for that day. It's the other way. How many long for the day when the Lord comes back? Or we get to meet with him face to face. Scripture tells us what a joy that will be. There's a song like that too, isn't there? The Gaither song. Beautiful song. So whatever tomorrow delivers, whether it's good news or tragedy, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through because God holds tomorrow. He created and prepared tomorrow. It's a quote that I found from this fellow, Caleb Keltnick. His best friend, one of his roommates, had just gotten married and moved out and was coming home one night on his motorcycle, and a few blocks from home was hit and killed. And he was trying to make sense of hope. And it started him on a thinking and a discussion where he had to write this article on what hope was about. If you're interested, come and see me. I can share that with you. I love what he said, though. Whatever tomorrow delivers, whether it's good news or tragedy, we're going to make it through because God holds tomorrow. He created and prepared tomorrow. Isn't that comforting? For me, I think that helps me. That helps me today to know that he's holding tomorrow. When we struggle, when we ask the question, why doesn't God do something? God, are you there? Would you show up? When worry starts to rise and our faith starts to fall, there's a place that we can go to strengthen our hope. We can go back and we can read the stories of how powerful God is. Even at the lowest points that we find in Scripture, and people are calling out to God and how he showed up, how he interceded, how he cared for individuals, groups, churches, people, how he answered prayer. Just stop and think about your favorite Old Testament Bible story for a minute. You just stop and you think about it, and what makes it so good? Because I'll guarantee you that just about every single one of them, they're good because God showed up. One of my favorites is Elisha. Elisha and his servant, and the king had said, you know, if you come close to here, boy, you're going to get it. And in fact, he was surrounded on all sides by this army. And his servant looks at Elisha, and and says, like, okay, why aren't you shaking in your boots? Oh, he said, oh, if you could see what I see. God, would you open his eyes and let him see what I'm seeing? Do you remember that story? What did the servant see? He saw that all around him were chariots of fire, and the angel army, the angel host of heaven, was there to protect them and, in fact, destroyed the army that was there. And took care of them. God showed up. When we need that hope for tomorrow because our lives feel like they're just crashing, go to Scripture and read some of these Old Testament stories of God's power and how he shows up. Spend some time talking to him. Tell him that you're afraid. Ask him to take your fears. Ask him to help you with hope for right now and for tomorrow too. It's in this relationship that we find that he is there with us and that he shows up when we need him most. Oh. We go back and read those stories of the powerful God, how he rescues us, how he holds us, how he sees things that we cannot see. I loved what somebody said. I can't remember who. Someone here said that God, he protects us even when we don't know that we need protection. We need to put our faith in the God who reveals himself to us again and again. See, hope is formed in us when we believe in God, when we believe him, when we believe his promises for us, when we believe that he has a better plan than I have for myself. And then something happens. Faith and trust in him grow. And when our faith and our trust in him grow, our hope grows. To activate the power of hope in our lives, we need to have faith in the promises of God. And I think that leads us to sharing our hope that we have. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we're back into 1 Peter again. Chapter 3 challenge us with this verse. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Because he's just talking about the reality of the day that he was writing in, that persecution and suffering, hey, they're not just some options. They are going to be probably mandatory for the people who are going to follow Christ. And so Peter is writing to them to encourage them. And he says in verse 13, he says, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. You are blessed. Don't fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do it with gentleness and respect. This is an opportunity for us. You know, when Christ is living in and through us, here we like to say that Christ is shining through us. When he shines through you and people around you go, hey, 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 how come you're so filled with hope and joy and peace? And I want some of that. You can share with them the reason for your hope. Hey, you know what? My hope is because God is living in me. Christ is living in and through my life, and I want to be like him. My everyday, I want to be like him. Yeah, sometimes I really mess up and I show you the wrong person. But I want to show you Christ in me. I want to show you the Christ that lives in me and helps me and gives me hope for today. See, when we share hope, we're looking ahead. We're saying to our friends and our family, to others who don't know Christ yet, hey, here's why I'm confident about the future. Here's why I'm optimistic when the rest of the world is pessimistic. See, when we share our hope, we're looking ahead. We're not looking behind because we can't change it. We're not worried about today. We're looking ahead. Hey, I have got something that you need to hear about. Tony Dungy says in the introduction of his book called Quiet Strength, he said that he was really hesitant to write a book about his life, but people kept prodding him, kept encouraging him, and asking him, hey, why do you got this hope in the midst of life's adversities? And he said this, he said, I like saying life is hard, but God is good. It's because of God's goodness that we can have hope, both for here and the hereafter, for today and for tomorrow. And it's the desire to share that hope that finally changed my no, I'm not going to write a book, to yes. It is the desire to share that hope that changed my no to a yes. People kept asking him to reveal that source of his hope. So he shares his hope, just like the Bible tells us to. What Jesus has done for me in the past, what he's doing for me in the present, and what he promises to do for me in the future is hope. It's a hope that I can't keep to myself, and I've got to share it. That's why I'm here today. That's why I think God has called me to be a pastor. It's because I can't keep the hope to my... Now, it doesn't mean I don't have down days. Oh, of course I have them. Of course you do. We all will. But it still is going to come out of me. I dare you to go for coffee with me sometime and see if I don't talk about God. See if I don't talk about what God is doing in life or what I think God wants to do in your life. I remember a teenager once who was living a double life. They were living one way at church and youth group, and they were living a totally different way at school. And this person didn't know that I was around the school. And I saw her. And I saw some of the things that she said. I heard some of the things that she said. I saw some of the ways that she treated people. And I invited her out for a coke one day. And she sat across from me. These were the days when, you know, a pastor could actually invite a young girl for coke and it didn't, you know, it was okay. You have to be more creative these days to care for people, but... She sat across the table for me, and we were just doing the chit-chat and the small talk, and then I looked at her in the eyes, and I said, I need to talk to you about something. At church and a youth group, you say and you express that you want to live for Jesus. But then you go away, and you don't. You live for yourself, and you're selfish. And you live a mean, nasty life. Those were hard words to share with a teenager. You know why? Because teenagers know everything, right? Isn't that true? Uh-oh. So it's hard for teenagers to hear those words. About 7 years later, I got a note from this girl that said, Pastor Trevor, thank you for having the guts for telling me that day, having that coke with me, and telling me that I was living a double life. You are absolutely right. And my life changed because I committed my life to Jesus that day. It was because I dared to share the hope that I had for her. What Jesus has done for me in the past, what he's doing for me in the present, what he's promised to do for me in the hope, I can't keep this hope to myself. What he's promised to do for me in the future, that's the hope that I can't keep to myself. We can boldly, love this quote too. Did I put that one on there? We can boldly and graciously offer hope to people today because God has created and prepared tomorrow. And he's going to walk with us into it. So, biblical hope is a reality, it's not a feeling. It doesn't have a doubt attached to it. It's not the same as our worldly, I hope so. No, I hope in the Lord. And my hope is assurance, it's confident assurance of a future and of real life, starting today and moving forward. Hope, or that confident assurance, is ours when we trust in the words of Jesus. Jesus said, hey, very truly, I want to tell you this. The one who believes has eternal life. That is assurance. The one who believes has eternal life. Biblical hope is a sure foundation, and we base our lives on it. Hope is believing that God always keeps his promises. Amen? This is the truth. And so one last little quote from Caleb's article. He said, the hope that society longs for, it's found in God, who walks with us in life. And the hope that he offers will counter our fear and our worry about the future. Our expectant hope is that God has the path laid out before us. He's going to journey with us, and that he already knows what tomorrow holds. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we need this hope. We need this hope.